Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And on last week's broadcast, we began looking at some passages of Scripture that I thought were not only very significant, but full of significance and meaning for us today. We're living in an hour and an age where the devil is doing everything he can to try to get us to compromise, to move from our position of wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And we were looking at 2 Chronicles, the 19th and 20th chapter. And as I shared, I had been in my morning time with the Lord, had been reading about the good King Jehoshaphat. Now, there were many wicked and evil kings who ruled over Judah and Israel. But it's always a delight to read about those whose heart was right with the Lord. And Jehoshaphat was such a one. He was a godly king. He did much to restore the people of God to worshiping the living and the true God. He tore down the high places. He sent his princes and the Levites throughout all of Judah, teaching the word of the Lord. And perhaps his most memorable, one of the most memorable events in his life is when the enemy, numbers of the enemy surrounded them. The prophet spoke the word of the Lord to him that he was not to fear, but to trust in the Lord. And he responded to the people. He said, "Believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll prosper." And he sent the praisers on ahead. And of course, you know, there was a resounding victory that was given. So he was indeed a good king. So let's pick up with Jehoshaphat returning to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, goes out to meet him. And this is in chapter 19, verse 2. And he says, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord." And it is so important, beloved, that we walk closely to the Lord, and we really study the Word of God. And it's important to have the Spirit of the Lord in His fullness dwelling within you, because that the Spirit of the Lord will give us understanding of the character, the nature of God, and what God expects, what His desires are. You cannot read the Word, if you're unsaved, for example, and understand its meaning in any true spiritual sense, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And sometimes, I know probably even your own life, that you've had partial understanding of truth, and it wasn't until you matured and grew more in the ways of the Lord that you understood more perfectly the things of God. And for example, let me just quote a phrase that Jesus spoke, is recorded to have spoken in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 37. And here Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now that sounds like a very hard statement. Of course, Jesus wants us to love our parents, to be a minister of his love to the saved and the unsaved, to do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. But he was making a point. He was saying that we have to love the Lord our God more than any other relationship. And you see, this is what was at issue in Jehoshaphat's life. He was a good king, but he had one serious flaw. He made an alliance with those who did not love the Lord and serve the Lord as he did. He had made an alliance with Ahab, and as a result, he was in trouble with the Lord. That's why the prophet Jehu said, "Wrath from the Lord has gone out from the Lord to thee." He was a good king, remember. He walked according to the ways of David. He took a stand against every form of idolatry, and as a result of his godliness, the fear of the Lord came on the nations all around them, and they respected Jehoshaphat. Instead of making war against him, they sent gifts. So the nation under his reign enjoyed peace and prosperity. They had plenty, and the king had riches and honor in abundance. He loved the Lord, but his one weakness was that he did not possess the courage to refuse other kings who sought affinity with him. And that word affinity means related by marriage, a close relationship, by language or a common origin or family resemblance, a natural liking or a sympathy. In fact, it reminds one a great deal of a covenant relationship, something that was understood well in those times, because it's interesting how Jehoshaphat responded to Ahab in the 18th chapter, verse 3. When Ahab asked him, "Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat answered him, and he said, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war." Now, he did not seek the Lord before him. What was motivating him? Well, the same things that motivate all of us. It can be, you know, a desire for advantage, a political opportunity, for a greater security, whatever. It seemed right in his own mind, but it was not pleasing to the Lord. And how many Christians are weak in this area, whether it's a matter of unsaved family or friends or children? Over the years of ministry, I've seen many people really back off from where they should be in the Lord, a wholehearted commitment, or God was really had some really tremendous things for them, but they weren't willing to cut the ties. You know, there's something about being wholeheartedly given into God's hands without any ties or obligation to anyone else. Yes, the Lord wants us responsible. He wants us to reflect divine, godly priorities, but we have to put Him first. And so he had aligned himself with Ahab, who was a very wicked king. He was the king of Israel, and perhaps one of the most wicked kings of all the wicked kings. He rejected serving God, and he worshipped Baal. And when he decided to fight against Ramoth-Gilead, he sought the help of the king of Judah. Well, why not? They were brethren. Remember, Judah and Israel were all the sons of Israel. They were all the sons of the patriarchs. They were one family, one blood. And so it's one thing, friends, to witness and live a life before the ungodly and the wicked, but it's another thing to make an alliance with them for any reason, an agreement to walk as they walk, as to do as they do. And the thing that's so interesting about this in terms of Jehoshaphat's life, even though he was a good king and he had prosperity in his lifetime, it's really interesting to see what happens at the end of his life and also in the life of his son. At the end of chapter 20, it says that he joined himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly, he sort of agreed, went into agreement with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and the ships were made at Ezion Geber. And then one of the prophets came to, sons of the prophet came to him, and it says, because thou hast joined thyself with Azariah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And according to the word of the Lord, that was fulfilled. The ships were broken, so they were not able to go to Tarshish. Then, chapter 21, it says, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. What happened as a result of the foolishness of Jehoshaphat? Well, his son Jehoram reigned in his stead, and he had other siblings, and their father had given them great gifts of silver and all sorts of precious things, fenced cities in Judah, but he had given the kingdom to Jehoram because he was his firstborn. Listen to this. What his son Jehoram did when he strengthened himself, he slew all his brethren, his own brothers, with the sword, and diverse also with the princes of Israel. He was 32 years old when he started to reign, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. You see, the consequences were experienced not only in Jehoshaphat's life, but in the life of his eldest son. And he basically turned away from the Lord because he was married to a daughter of Ahab. You see the danger of aligning ourselves with those who are not walking with God. And I hope you have to hear what I'm saying. If you've listened any length of time, you know I've shared that we need to be out there in the world. We need to be doing and letting our light shine and doing good works that our Father in heaven may be glorified. But it's one thing to minister, yet it's another thing to align ourselves with the wicked. So this is true in our own lives. We can't do this with friends or family. If they're going to drag us down, if they're going to pull us away from serving God. Now, some aren't going to like this. Some might not even like, as you're listening to me now, like for me to even say this. But it's a principle that God has established. And we're going to look at this a little further in a succeeding broadcast. And I hope you'll be able to tune in at the same time tomorrow. But as I draw this broadcast to a close, I'd like to invite you to be a part of my spiritual family. As you write, if you note down that mailing address the announcer will give, and share your requests, I'll pray for you personally and send back whatever the Lord gives, which I know will encourage your heart. Or if you're just being blessed by the broadcast, I'd appreciate hearing from you. And I want to just thank all of UCM partners for your prayers, your financial help. It's such a blessing, and I love to go to the post office every day to receive your letter. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass, and may God bless you.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.